Liebe Zuschauerinnen, liebe Zuschauer.
Dear viewers, dear listeners, a very warm welcome to a further program of our series, The Speaking All Unity, the Word of the Universal Creator Spirit. We continue to read from the book with the same title, A Cosmic Work of Teaching and Learning from the School of Divine Wisdom. The programs up to this point have given us a very unique insight into the event of creation, such as Gabriele has depicted in our conversation rounds. We were privileged to see through a crack in the door into the workings of the Eternal, into His creation of the being from the very beginning. Among other things, we also experience how the material universe came into being and how the primordial powers of the being are also active and effective in matter. Today, we will learn through what divisiveness and its resulting calamity comes into the world, who produces it unceasingly, so that the speaking all unity can hardly be at all perceived by us human beings. We will read about the five components in the life of a human being that become warfare agents. Over and over again, we hear and read that we should think about the way we feel, sense, think, speak, and act. In connection with our senses, these five components can turn into explosives, because they are energies that we emit, and, ultimately, whose effects unfailingly hit the one who emitted them. In order to learn, we could ask ourselves, who are we and what do we emit? A person's five components, with which he daily works, are the content of his feeling, sensing, thinking, speaking, and acting. When we analyze the present time and this generation more closely, then we realize that these five components have become warfare agents, weapons, which are directed against the sender. Few people think about the five components, above all, about their content, because these are the projectiles that the person fires day in and day out and that come exclusively from his weapons arsenal. For example, every person puts his personal warfare agent into his sensations and feelings, and particularly into his thoughts. It can definitely be said that every single person has laid out his special, specific arsenal of weapons in his five components. Every day, from the arsenal of feelings or the arsenal of thoughts, words, or even actions, projectiles are fired off against people, animals, and nature, which, however, also hit people and stimulate them to think in the same or similar way, or even to command someone to do something bad. For example, to maltreat animal species or to practice predatory exploitation on the planet Earth. The projectiles that strike can be initial sparks that stir up the same or similar things in many people. The majority of the swirling mass, the splinters, comes back to the sender, who unceasingly emits his negative messages, his warfare agents. They precisely hit the sender. The consequences are blows of fate, hardship, worries, accidents, illnesses, up to premature death, depending on the content of the projectiles.
Je nachdem, was die Geschosse beinhalten.
As stated, the impact of the projectiles, the splinters, primarily hit the sender, but also those people who fire off the same and similar things with the content of their feeling, thinking, speaking, and acting are on the receiving end. However, the initiator is always the emitter. Since in all of infinity, including matter, everything is based on sending and receiving, the catalogue of sins says, what you sow, that is, send, you will reap, that is, receive. Man poisons himself and his environment through his five components, which turn into warfare agents. But the five components of sensing, feeling, speaking, and acting can also be positive companions, above all, when they are applied according to the eternal law of love for God and neighbor. This would then be the path to higher ethics and morals, to the life, to the primordial heart of being. Of course, the cleansing of the five components means to work on oneself. This means that whenever associations come up from one of the five components, for example, from thoughts, that lead to actions that harm others, caution is necessary. For instance, this is the case when with nice words we cause our neighbor to do something that he wasn't planning to do, but we influence him so that he is at our service. Dear fellow people, there are many such contents in our five components, for instance, in our thoughts, and each person has different ones. We human beings think unceasingly. Our thoughts are the primary warfare agent in our weapons arsenal. With their content, which often builds up in pictorial sequences, we fabricate the warfare agent, which is ultimately directed against ourselves. Man thinks and thinks unceasingly, without realizing that every thought is energy and presses to be actualized. Negative contents of thoughts that are harbored against our neighbor can consist of expectations, envy, or hostility, up to rejection and hatred. They energetically form and are applied at some point, be it through words or actions. The thought is the lead man that processes everything that romps around as the content of his world of desires and thoughts. One day, the stored thought energy urges to actualize what we imagined and worked out in thoughts. The insidious buildup of the warfare agents in our weapons arsenal of thoughts can come to an explosive discharge, be it against our neighbor or also against nature, the animals and plants, or through the fact that the explosive force of the negative content takes effect in our organs and body cells.
In unseren Organen und Körperzellen einschlägt.
The negative inputs of the content of our thoughts lead to reticence, secrets, intellectual saber rattling, and finally to brutality against life. In thoughts, we set up what becomes manifest in our words and actions. The content of the five components is the blacksmith's tools of our fate. With them, we build up the causes which at some point in time become effects. Dear fellow people, we cannot often enough be aware of the fact that truly everything is energy. That is, all the expressions of our life as they relate to all spheres of life. Even our desires in our diet are shaped by the content of the five components, which have a simultaneous effect on our sensory perception. This leads to the fact that for certain celebrations, animals which are bred and raised just for this purpose and have to carve out their existence confined under the most unworthy conditions are slaughtered, only so that people consume them for the pleasure and delight of the palate, all the while extolling the taste of the tormented animal's meat. Other victims, our fellow creatures, are hunted, chased, and shot for this purpose. They often find death only after agonizing hours filled with fear. The fatal warfare agents, which also have their origin in the five components, are manifested through the contract killers. The same is true of the exploitation of the soil. The soil gives its richness, but that is not enough for man. Driven by the content of the five components, he uses artificial fertilizers and kills the life in the soil with poisons merely to squeeze the utmost out of the soil. It is the various associations from the five components that move us to use our warfare agents against the life. This is also always the case when we plan something that harms our fellow people or the animals in and on the fields, in the woods, in the rivers, lakes and oceans, which consequently lose their life in gruesome ways and means, etc., etc. Many people know that everything is energy and that no energy is lost and that energy is transmittable also through our thoughts, words and behavior patterns. Dear viewers, dear listeners, on this program we continue learning from our book, also about ourselves. We human beings live in pictures. All the behavior patterns of every individual consist of countless picture sequences. We could say that they consist of a film that we unwind again and again through the content of the five components: sensing, feeling, thinking, speaking and acting, but also unceasingly activate, whereby ever new picture sequences are added. If you do not believe what was just explained, then just try to think slowly and consciously. With these exercises, you will soon recognize that a picture or even several pictures want to develop. Do not interrupt your thoughts. Try to look at what you are thinking. What comes from our personal past is what we experience in pictures. This is so because no energy is lost. In the process, we simultaneously think and talk or even talk about what we see in us. As stated, our behavior patterns are also part of our picture sequences. What we have not experienced ourselves, that is, what we know only from hearsay, but which we think or talk about, may also develop into a picture. Whether this picture, which developed based on conversations, corresponds to us or to others, does not matter. We cannot control what another person says, because his statements are not recorded on our film reel. In case we believe what was said and affirm it, we automatically include on our film reel the picture that we made during the conversation. This means that we are producers. We produced our past on our film reel, what we ourselves created through the content of our five components, and may likewise cause what we heard from others to come alive in pictures on our film reel.
Bildhaft lebendig werden. Alles.
Everything, but absolutely everything is pictures, and these run in picture sequences. The details of all our manifestations of life, as well as what we heard by way of second or third parties, and of which we make a picture for ourselves, we include in our life film. But also what we acquire, what we purchase, what we consume, what we move are picture sequences, which show up again in our life film, on our film reel.
Auf unserer Filmspule wiederfinden. Liebe Mitmenschen,
dear fellow people, the effects of the contents of our five components that go out from us are way more far-reaching than we would at first assume. If we grasp that we are building up weapons arsenals with our sensations, feelings, thoughts, and words, and if we realize that everything is energy and no energy is lost, we will also understand how it can go so far that our planet Earth is armed everywhere with weapon systems of every kind. Seven billion people feel, sense, think, speak, and act every day, every hour, every minute, every second, yes, every instant. According to the content of the five components, corresponding energies are released. If they are negative, then they form the building materials of energy, not only for the weapons arsenals in the figurative sense, but they are also actually the basis for the fact that people are stimulated to develop weapons, to produce weapons, to deploy weapons, to practice with weapons in order to ultimately use them against their neighbor. The negative content of the five components scatter the splinters of warfare agents and give the impulse for more negativity when they meet the similar content in individual fellows or groups of people. They can also have entirely concrete effects in concentrations of negative energy, in that the negative energy potential, which is created by the negative feeling, sensing, thinking, speaking, and acting at every moment of 7 billion people becomes visible as material manifestations in the weapons arsenals of this world. The most varying content of this negative energy stimulates the corresponding people who develop weapons. Then new ideas again develop for ever further developed lethal weapon systems. Through this, they become even more sophisticated, their effect ever more destructive, all the way to autonomous weapon systems, which, based solely on their programming, can ultimately execute their destructive effects on their predetermined targets.
An ihrem vorgegebenen Zielobjekt vollstrecken können. Woher kommt die?
Where does the energy to invent such things come from? Where does the possibility come from, with much effort and energy, to plan, construct, and deploy such weapon systems?
Und zum Einsatz zu bringen. So facettenreich,
as multifaceted as the negative content of the five components is, the energetically developed weapons arsenal in the feeling, sensing, thinking, speaking, and acting of people, just as sophisticated and versatile, is the lethal machinery on the water, the land, and in the air. Warships, airplane carriers, nuclear-powered submarines, and sea mines in the ocean, combat helicopters, fighter jets and missiles, fully automated operating deadly drones in the air and tanks and missile systems on land, right up to atomic bombs that destroy everything. All these weapon systems are the product of thoughts, feelings, and the systematic actions of human beings, fed by the sum of the negative energy of all warfare agents that romp about as a murderous content in the five components of all of mankind. Often, hardly perceivable and inconspicuous, mostly dismissed as harmless, they form as energy to stimulate people to produce the aggression, brutality and violence, which emerge in the weapons factory of our five components, as real weapons arsenals in the weapons factories of this world. As with a magnifying glass, the various warfare agents are concentrated so that their deadly energy can find expression in the life-destroying machinery of the war industry. Dear fellow people, if we look at the combat mission against God, against His all-love, from a different viewpoint, then we can recognize today that the cancer of demonic machinations has changed its tune. Once dissolution of the divine creation, today destruction. Many people have subjugated themselves to the demonic diktat to destroy everything that cannot be brought into line, whether friend or enemy. People kill the disagreeable enemies, their neighbors. They devise ever more atrocious, sophisticated combat weapons and also produce them. Combat weapons are killing machines against people, animals, and nature. People act unscrupulously against their neighbor, and hardly anyone thinks about the fact that the willful killing of our neighbor is fratricide. German weapon technology in particular is in great demand by those governing many a country. German arms exports are among the highest. Already long ago, the government of a country that refers to Jesus the Christ and produces war weapons threw down the gauntlet to the Nazarene who taught the people, "All who take up the sword will perish by the sword," or, "Whatever you have done to one of these, the least of my brothers, you have done to me." Vast sums of money, the same as energy, are required for the sophisticated war weapons. This means that no money is available for starving people and children. At arm's length, they are knowingly allowed to go hungry and starve. People are deliberately sacrificed for the weapons arsenals. That is the murder of children, thus fratricide. The effort to dissolve God's creation has failed. Now people destroy and kill even more. They literally rage and rampage, each one against the other and against God's creation, against God's unity, against love for God and neighbor. Among other things, the fight against God also means torturing the animals, killing and murdering our fellow creatures, destroying nature and exploiting the planet Earth. People rage and fight against God's creation, against the commandment of love for God and neighbor, and against the law of freedom. Anyone who keeps animals cooped up as mass-produced objects, as animals for slaughter, and hands them over to the butcher at a given time is no better than the one who kills them. Anyone who consumes the meat of the tortured and executed animals is no better than the one who keeps them to be executed and takes them to be executed. All this is against God's love, against His creation, against the life, which is unity. Nature, too, deserves respect and appreciation, because it also bears the life from the power of God. Anyone who violates nature is against God, against God's love. Anyone who exploits the earth and brings the planet Earth to the tipping point is no better than the one who kills people or has them killed, who tortures and kills animals or takes them to be killed. Anyone who violates the dwelling planet, seen as a whole, acts against the life, against God's love, and His creation. So-called Christianity has thrown down the gauntlet to the Nazarene, and the earth, which is part of God's creation, has taken it up and thrown it back to the people. Man has turned his provider, the Mother Earth, into an enemy. The earth will be victorious over the enemy. This is already indicated with the one word, climate change.
Dear fellow people, as a participant of the roundtable discussions with Gabriela, I experienced how she struggled for the words in order to explain to us how God, the Eternal, meets His creation in love and humility. I realized that even today, the cruel Vandal man bows down before the god Baal, who, in our time, merely adorns himself with other names. But his cruelty of yesterday is also his cruelty of today. Man wrecks unrestrained on God's earth as an immigrant vandal, destroying everything that belongs to God, the Eternal. Science teaches that no energy is lost, and that thoughts are also energies that do not miss their mark. At every moment, 7 billion people are sending and sending and sending thought energies with the most varying content to their fellow people, to the animals, to nature, and into the Earth's atmosphere, giving off their personal thought war agent to the environment, which combines with similar content of thought energies and intensifies there. In most cases, the content of people's sensing, feeling, thinking, speaking, and acting is against the Ten Commandments of God and the Sermon on the Mount of Jesus of Nazareth, and is thus viewed energetically negative radiation patterns, that is, negative radiation energies, which are unceasingly emitted. If this were not so, why then is the earth, with all its life forms, in such bad shape? Even though its illusion managers from politics, economy, and the church try to whitewash the relatively short-term and unavoidable end to the present human civilization. Who shaped and shapes the people of the nations in their ethical and moral thinking and behavioral patterns, and teaches them to perceive and imitate as positive conduct the often negative behavior which is against life? Who teaches, schools, and educates people in the values or non-values that they ultimately represent and that they continuously emit in the content of the radiation energies of sensing, feeling, thinking, speaking, and acting? When we observe the state of our world and environment, the question arises, where does the widespread unscrupulousness and irresponsibility toward people, nature, and animals come from? Where does this indifference come from, which ultimately leads to the self-destruction of the human civilization? Who put on airs, and has been doing so for 1700 years, as the ethical moral authority, upholding this claim as highly praised tradition up until today? And who, year after year, lets itself get paid tens of billions from general tax monies for this claim in Germany alone? Who? Dear fellow people, anyone who goes through life with open and alert senses will conclude the following. The warfare agents of our five components, as related to the level of church traditions, become apparent as follows. Year after year, the so-called Christian holidays are preceded by huge slaughter feasts, in which millions and millions of liters of blood are shed. Large parts of the population think nothing of it when millions and millions of animals are slaughtered. Especially the traditional Martin goose is part of the suffering caused by the killing machinery. Martin of Tours is mentioned in history for his mercy, because he allegedly shared his coat with a freezing beggar. That's the whole story. Now, what do the millions of murdered geese have to do with the Catholic feast of Saint Martin? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. At some point, with the blessing of the church leaders, people ate the carcass of a goose on this St. Martin's Day, and this carcass meal spread ever more in the heads of the people by way of the energies of thought, and not lastly, through the blessings of the caste of priests, until it became a so-called custom that many lemmings simply followed without listening to their conscience. God, the Eternal, does not bless the murder of His creatures. Whose blessing lies on all the randomly massacred animal carcasses? The following is also part of a traditional slaughter feast. Millions and millions of turkeys have to lose their lives at Christmas time, the celebration of love, because ecclesiastical masterminds bless the carcass meal for the holy night, and thus more and more people emit the same radiation frequencies and become imitators of a ritual of blood and killing which stems from paganism. The result is a bloodbath among the animals, which has assumed an unimaginable dimension and becomes greater year after year. For the animal torturers who specialize in animal suffering, it is a profitable business on earth. However, in the beyond, the acquired pieces of silver will be recorded on the debit side of the person's life account in an overriding bookkeeping system. Proceeding from the church feast days, the whore also goes through the woods and fields. Every year, tens of thousands of deer and other free-living animals, such as hares and wild pigs, are sneakily, stealthily, and brutally killed by hunters, whereby many, very many animals are merely wounded, or their legs are shot off, so that the severely wounded animals hide from the predator man and die an endlessly long and miserable death. The animals that had a short death struggle are called the bag in hunter jargon and are often blessed by priests who call themselves Christian. For the Feast of Love, a finely prepared venison roast is on the table from an animal that often died miserably under lengthy agony. This is then the blessed silent night, holy night. In this way, the holy night, in which true Christians who follow Jesus of Nazareth should experience the Christ of God in the stillness of profound prayer in their inner being, is turned into a bloodbath and a carcass meal of an externalized Christianity, which is an abomination to God and closes the gates to heaven. With the church's blessing, many people thoughtlessly and indifferently while away the hours of celebration in a befogged night marked by perdition, which the incense in the churches cannot brighten either, for the blind guides of religion, as Jesus of Nazareth called them, can merely point the way into the pit. The calamitous disaster continues. The Christmas trees have a similar fate as the animals. Christmas trees came into general use in the 19th century. But it was only after the beginning of the 20th century that it became a massacre of young trees, which is in no way secondary to the massacre of the animals. The indifferent and negative thoughts, disdainful of life, of many people, combine into massacre energies, which finish off the young living trees by the millions. Young plant life, with strong roots, filled with sap and strength, filled with joy over the new spring, in order to continue growing and to give food and protection to the multifaceted life from God, to blossom and flourish, to bear fruit and give shade, is simply felled, so that misled people can decorate a room for a few short weeks, or as a magnificent tree, to also be sacrificed to the pagan cult on a church square. All this, again with the blessing of the church masterminds, who call themselves priests, and who often understand little about the life, which God is, in all and in all things. Many people are aware that trees and plants are living beings. Scientific studies of the interrelationships in woods and fields have verified that trees and plants communicate with each other over great distances. It has also become known that trees and plants respond to being addressed by people and that they love classical music. It has become known that plants bear especially nice fruit when harmonious classical music is played to them. It has become known that trees and plants can experience joy and stress, all of it very similar to people and animals. Dear fellow people, I would like to speak out very clearly about what really happens with animals and nature on so-called feast holidays. The killing ritual at the so-called church feast holidays, no matter whether the killed victim is a turkey, a goose, a deer, or a Christmas tree, or whatever else takes place, over the whole year are against the law of life, which is God, and come under the fifth commandment, you shall not kill. Particularly at Christmas time, we hear the carol, O you joyful, O blessed, O merciful Christmas time. But millions of animals are sacrificed without mercy to the god Baal, and millions of hectoliters of blood are left to the allegedly Christian sewer systems. Millions of trees are mercilessly chopped down and soon land in the Christian trash. One could think that most people are subject to demonic mass hypnosis, so that they have lost all sensations, feelings, and thoughts, and positive support for the life, as well as the decisive action for all life forms. Does this terrible bloodshed have anything at all to do with ethics and morals? What is given here as examples holds equally true for all animals and plants over the whole earth. The warfare agents of the five components do not stop before anything, whether duck or goose or sheep, whether pig or chicken, whether cow, carp or salmon, whether trees or flowers. It is always the life which has to lose its life. Today, this frequently takes place under the premise, render homage to Baal, whereby today he is equipped with several magic hoods. Through his prophet Isaiah, God the Eternal revealed, Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. The climate collapse will teach people more. The limits that the species man does not set for himself are his downfall. Even in Paul, who is so esteemed by the church, it says unmistakably, whatever a person sows, that will he also reap.
Dear fellow people, in this context, we would like to look more closely into the statement, man poisons himself and his environment through his five components, which turn into warfare agents. We will now hear more about the five warfare agents of the human being from the viewpoint of medicine. The central control and organizing organ of our human body is the brain. It consists of three main areas which are different from an evolutionary point of view: the reptilian brain, the old and new mammalian brain. The reptilian brain is the oldest part of our brain. It controls all vital functions of the body, such as breathing, digestion, heartbeat, etc. That is, our instinctive behavior. The paleomammalian brain houses our feelings and emotions. The neomammalian brain, the neocortex, with its two brain halves that are linked with the so-called corpus callosum, is responsible for our cognitive, analytical thinking. Likewise, our entire body is mapped in the neocortex. At every moment, all information which comes into the brain from the body and from the outside world via our senses are processed by all the areas of the brain, so that in the end, an individual picture develops in the person, shaped by all the data ever stored in the brain. Today, medicine knows that, among other things, nerve system and immune system communicate with each other via said neurotransmitters. It is assumed that thoughts and feelings cause the brain to release certain neurotransmitters, which then influence the immune system. Such neurotransmitters can also become active in the cell directly on the DNA. The genetic makeup. Some researchers even describe illnesses such as cancer as faulty information diseases. The activity of the genes requires regulation, a control system. This takes place, for example, through the fact that certain gene sections are switched on and off, thus receiving other functions. This regulation is dependent on information exchange, which changes constantly. The genetic products are proteins. Which proteins are developed depends on which gene sectors are switched on or off. Proteins form the structure of the body's cells and organs. Most cells of the body have renewed themselves within 7 to 10 years, so that after this time, the body has totally changed. In summary, we can say that the nervous system, the immune system, and signal molecules are closely connected. Today, we know that there are a vast number of signal molecules that are, for instance, called neurotransmitters in the nervous system and cytokines in the immune system. Today, it has been convincingly verified that messenger molecules of the nervous system also influence immune cells, and conversely, immune cells, in turn, influence the messenger molecules of the nervous system. Thus, illnesses always develop through an interaction of nervous, genetic, immunological, and psychological factors. In this, our thoughts and the emotions connected with them are the strongest creative force. An example of this is the placebo effect. Just the thought and the idea that a medication will relieve pain, for instance, brings about a relief of pain. That this is not merely imagination, but that a biochemical effect is actually triggered in our body through our mental image, has been scientifically verified today. Now we can understand how the content of our sensations, feelings, thoughts, words, and actions, which does not correspond to the harmony of life, becomes warfare agents and ultimately changes our body toward illness or disease. Dear viewers, dear listeners, for all of us, this is of great meaning. If we watch ourselves a little, we realize that we feel, think, speak, or act without pause, thus constantly affecting our body and our health. I continue reading. The primary warfare agent with which we change our body is our thoughts. Thoughts always precede a word or a deed. Feelings and sensations are not concrete for us. They can't be grasped. Only when they form into thought pictures do they become real and tangible for us. While thinking about something, the picture develops more and more, as with an ever more realistic film. For example, if we had a quarrel that has not yet been resolved, and if we think about this quarrel again and again, more and more details are added to this picture of the quarrel, more and more feelings. The inner dialogues, for instance, become ever more realistic and increasingly become our reality. Our emotions also change continuously and adapt to our own developing inner film, until, in the end, we talk and act accordingly. Every thought brings about in our chemical factory brain a release of neuropeptides, which constantly, every second, change our body, with negative thoughts toward illness. Illnesses are faulty information diseases. Brain research also calls this autocatalysis, which means that parts of the brain begin a cycle that reinforces itself. Among other things, this happens when a person, as in the above-mentioned example, produces thoughts and feelings that become ever more powerful by way of the autocatalysis until they gain control. This autocatalytically reinforced flow of energy and information then also shapes the body. In his book, The New Brain, Johannes Holler writes, "In this way, software becomes hardware. In a positive sense, this leads to more health and joy in life. In a negative sense, to illness, worries, depression, perhaps to injuring words and acts of violence." Well-known neuroscientists such as Professor Gerald Hüther at the universities of Göttingen, Mannheim, and Heidelberg investigate the power of these inner pictures. Gerald Hüther concludes that a person acts based on the pictures that he has in his head and not on the basis of reality. We human beings are prisoners of our inner pictures. As one of few scientists, he says that a person can change himself if he changes the pictures in his inner being. So, with the five warfare agents, the negative sensations, feelings, thoughts, words, and actions, we harm ourselves the most, since each of these warfare agents develops its destructive effect directly in our brain and in our body, before it strikes anywhere else. This corresponds to a slow but certain suicide.
Dear fellow people, after everything we have heard, the question is, what can we do? What path can be taken to liberate our soul? And how can we stop this disaster of thoughts? As already explained, everyone has different warfare agents in his five components, which should be worked on in good time, before they become missiles, firearms, and hit others, through which a causality can develop, and each one involved binds himself to those of his kind. We should immediately put a stop to such and similar associations. because anyone who is alert and monitors himself can call himself to order and grasp what may underlie the content of the thought disaster. For example, what can be cleared up? What has already been admitted? Or what has to be used to counter the base mindset, the warfare agents in the five components? Or what can be stopped right away? And what do we have to clear up with people? Ultimately, the contents of the five components that are in order should be the path to liberation from wrong behavior patterns. They should also be the path of recognition to the liberation of the soul, which ultimately stores our causalities and is strongly burdened by them. Anyone who loves true freedom, also well-being, health, and peace, should transform his warfare agents against people, animals, and nature into light-filled forces, into peace-loving feelings, sensations, and thoughts, and into honest, upright words. And in all five components, his actions should be what Jesus of Nazareth taught us. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Or spoken differently, do not do to another what you do not want to have done to you. With this, the life would begin in the All-One. This would be the step-by-step uncovering of our core of being, and would do justice to the indwelling spirit being that we are in the very basis of our soul.
Dear fellow people, in this program, which is a reading from the book The Speaking All Unity, the Word of the Universal Creator Spirit, a cosmic work of teaching and learning from the School of Divine Wisdom, we received much food for thought, so that we become aware of the contents of our feeling, sensing, thinking, speaking, and acting. Perhaps you, as we, were often shocked about the scope of our own sending potential. In the next program, we will be able to continue looking through the so-called crack in the door when we will be listening to the topic The Human Being, the Core of Being and the Spirit Being, with further elucidations from the conversation rounds with Gabriele. Until then, we wish you all the best and to all of us a lot of self-recognition. Greetings in God and goodbye.